Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fourth pasuk. We're learning about the subject of pinuk, spoiling. Yesterday we spoke how the Torah teaches us in the first story that the garden of pleasure is available only with boundaries. Obviously, when you spoil someone, one of the outcomes is they don't have boundaries. There's different ways of spoiling a person. One of the ways is whatever they want, you give them. Spoil them. Another way is you don't give them boundaries. So it's not so much that you give them whatever they want, is that then you don't put in the proper boundaries for them to be successful and happy. And in the end, they grow up spoiled. Because people without boundaries have no way of becoming successful and happy in a real way. This is one of the messages, by the way, I mentioned this once before, of the Kelim of the Mishkan. We have in the Mishkan three vessels that get crown. You get a crown on top. Only three vessels get crowns. A crown, obviously, is coming to show that this is something above others. Which three vessels in the Mishkan get a crown? So we have the Mizbeach HaZahab. We have the golden altar. That's where they bring the ketoret. Has a crown on top. The other one is the Aron HaKodesh that houses the Luchot and the Torah, has a crown on top. A crown means above the landing, there's a crown that surrounds the top. And the third one is the shulchan, the table where they put bread from Shabbat to Shabbat. Also, that table has a crown on top. Three vessels. The Torah tells us to put crowns around on top of the item. Again, like we said, a crown means this is special. This is unique. But what's interesting is that when it comes to the crown of the Aron, the Torah says, "Ve'asita alav zer zahav saviv." Make on top of the Aron, on top of the box, a golden crown all around. Simple. So you finish the Aron, you put a crown on top. When it comes to the inner Mizbeah, the golden Mizbeah, again the Torah says, Be'asita lo zer zahav saviv. Make for the Mizbeah a golden crown around. When it comes to the Shulchan, there's a deviation from the other two. Here it says, Ve'asita lo misgeret tofah saviv. After you make the table, says the Torah, make a border on top that's the height of a tefah. Few inches. Make first a border, and then ve'asita zer zahav lemiskarto, and then make the crown that it should sit on top of the border, all around. So it's interesting that unlike the first two, the mizbeah, the Aron, and the mizbeah, where the crown was directly on the item by the shulchan, by the table, the crown was built on top of the border. So there was a wooden border. After the border, you have a golden crown on top of it. And the obvious question is, what's the difference? How come by the shulchan, the crown went on top of the border? Why not have a border for all of them? So the answer to this question, I saw years ago, the beautiful answer to this question. In the Drash Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, Alav HaShalom, says something very, very beautiful. He says, when it comes to the Kelim of the Mishkan, each one represents an important area of the person's life. The Aron, of course, represents the Torah. The Mizbeah represents a person's avodah, his service, his mitzvot, his chesed, his kindness. And the shulchan, the table, represents parnasa. Shulchan melachim, it's the table of bread. Three important areas in a person's life: his wisdom, his actions, and his physical well-being. Three critical parts that make a person successful. So he says, when it comes to the Torah, represented by the Aron, over there, you take the crown and you put it directly on the Aron. Because the Torah is great. No matter how much Torah you have, no matter how much Torah you learn, never too much. Some people learn for an hour, some people learn for 15 hours, some people learn more. Of course, each person needs to build up their mental stamina to be able to learn more, but there's no too much Torah. The more Torah you learn, the more Torah you will achieve, the more wisdom you will have, the more holiness you will have. When it comes to avodah, when it comes to service, there's never too much. There's no such thing as too many mitzvot, too much kindness. I helped already too many people. I'm getting burnt out. No such thing. A person does mitzvot properly, there's no too much in mitzvot. There's no too much in kibud av v'em. There's no too much in any area of avodat Hashem. Therefore, says the Torah, it's very important. Put a crown on top of the Mizbeah. When it comes to the Shulchan, which represents Parnasah, represents a person's wealth, his physical well-being, here the Torah says, you can't put a crown on top of the table. Putting a crown on top of the table, the statement that would come out of that would be that having physical possessions, wealth, is a reason to celebrate. Just like you celebrated Torah and you celebrated Avodah, now seems to be that we could celebrate Parnasah too. That when we have our physical needs taken care of, let's celebrate. Let's put a crown on top. Says the great Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Torah is teaching you that having physical blessings is not a reason to celebrate. And therefore, you can't put the crown on top of the table. It would be the wrong message. It would seem that physical blessings are things to be proud of and to celebrate. And the Torah says they're not. Just being physically blessed doesn't get a crown. But if you put a border around, which represents the boundaries of the physical person, if you have boundaries on top of your table, then you could put a crown on the boundary. The crown doesn't go on the table. A crown on the table says, table is something to celebrate. Comes the Torah and says, no. You put a crown on top of the border. Because the border is something to celebrate. Shulchan is beautiful. But without borders on top, not worth it. Instead of enjoying life, instead of succeeding, it'll take you the opposite way. But you put a border around, you take the crown and put it on top of the border. The border is the reason to celebrate, not the table. Then the table becomes worth God. So parents who want their children to be happy understand that they must raise them with the proper boundaries. And then hopefully they will appreciate boundaries and take on the boundaries for themselves as they grow older. So that's one way to avoid spoiling a person. Number one, we discussed where they decide when you give them, spoiling them. Number two, living without boundaries. That's a way to spoil someone. Today I want to discuss with you another area where a person can become spoiled without the parents realizing. We touched on it before. I want to go on in it more specific. It's when a person, but it could be a father, a mother, a grandpa, could be a rabbi, a teacher. When a person alleviates from his student, from his children, the struggles that bring success. Meaning, if there is a destination on this road, and he wants to get there, and you want him to get there, but problem is, on this road that he's going to go on, there are a bunch of hills, some challenges along the way, which is going to make getting to the destination more difficult. So a caring father, a caring mother, a caring rabbi, they want to call the paving company and take all the bumps on the road and make it smooth. So this way, when the car goes, smooth all the way to the finish line. And the father or the rabbi watches in awe of himself how he was able to make things so easy for his son or daughter or student, instead of facing bumps and potholes along the way, they were able to get there smoothly and safely without any interruption. This is something that people take pride in, that they make their children's life easier. One of the important principles that a person needs to be aware of, that very often good intentions lead to very bad results. And this is a good example of that. Obviously, the intentions, obviously, good intentions very often end up in very bad results. And this area is a great example. While we all want to give our children everything, but we have to be very careful that when they have challenges along their highway, not to take away the challenge from their own doing, their own abilities, and their own accomplishment. I don't say that we're supposed to put potholes in front of them. I don't say that we're supposed to put bumps on their road. That would already be playing God. You don't want to play God in our children's lives. Our job is not to make life difficult for them, because that would mean that we know the formula and we're going to go and make difficulties for them when we feel necessary. It's not our job. You don't have to worry. There are plenty of difficulties in life, and only the Creator knows how to administer them to the person in the right dosage, in the right way, in the right time. Hashem is in charge of sending the challenges to a person. Beha Elohim nisa et Avraham. It's Hashem who tested Avraham. We say every morning, the Al Tevienu Liden Nisayon. Our job is to avoid challenges. God's job is to send them when they're appropriate. That's the way it works. So challenges are great. They're very needed and necessary, and they create the great person. But the unique part of challenges is that it has to be given by the Creator. We don't have the right to go and challenge ourselves, and all the more so to challenge others. It's not our job in life. Let the Creator do His job. He sends someone challenges. He knows that they're capable and they're necessary and that they can handle. We don't have that wisdom. What is being called for in this reality for parents and rabbis and teachers is that when a person has a challenge, not to step in so quickly and make things smooth. Many, many different scenarios that caring parents make a mistake, where they step in to be the hero of their children's happiness. For example, if they're struggling with a friend, something is going on that's not so comfortable, so they step in, they make sure to call the parent on the other side, they make sure that the school knows how dangerous this young man is around their son, and he can't be within 100 yards. A restraining order in the school. Not in recess, not in lunch, not in any, make sure he's never in his class. Why? Because this boy makes my son uncomfortable. So therefore, you need to make sure as a parent, isn't that your job after all? To make their life easy? So the answer is no. It's not your job. Our job is not to make their life easy. Our job is to make their life great. And when they have a challenge with friends or in school or with their brothers and sisters, the worst thing a person can do in that situation is take over. You feel heroic when you take over. You have 100 problems with yourself that you can't handle. But when it comes to your children, you feel accomplished that you step in amongst the three-year-olds and you solve a problem. You yourself, you go to 5 therapists to solve your issues. So it feels good when you're able to solve somebody else's problem. Finally, you have the answer yourself. So there's a certain pride. It's a certain good feeling. Besides that you care for your children, there's also a certain good feeling of stepping up and being the leader of the home by fixing all of what's broken. Don't fall for it. It's a yesara. You're taking the challenge away from your children. They need to deal with it. If they're fighting with their sister, it's appropriate, when it's age appropriate, to lock the door of the room and tell them that they can't get out until they figure it out. Of course, you can come in and figure it out for them. Either you'll take away the toy or you'll buy them another one. Because if they're fighting for one toy, the obvious solution is to buy a second one. This way, you solve the problem. You're such a hachav, you're so smart, because you know the answer. Well, I mean, it's only $1 the toy, it's not a big deal. So you give them another one, you come in and say, oh, here's one for you, and here's one for you. Problem solved, everybody's happy. Beautiful, what a home. That's the way you solve their problem. You close the door and you tell them nicely, I love you both. This is not the way we work. Until you figure it out with each other, you both can't leave. You'll see miracles. In the end, they come out hugging and the toy's on the floor. Neither one wants it. Of course, there are examples and there are situations that need immediate attention, both in the home and in school. Sometimes it's a little exaggerated. You have to step in because maybe it's dangerous. Maybe it got to the point of past the red line. Of course, there are exceptions. But the general issues that young people have are issues to prepare them for life. The Chovot HaLevavot says that one of the great kindnesses that God does for us is that when we're little, we experience pain. A young person gets sick. People ask, for what reason does he need to get sick? He didn't do any averot, he didn't do any sins. He's snow white pure. His neshama is pure. Hachamim tell us, there's no suffering without sin. So how do you explain an infant that's dealing with a cough, that's dealing with fever? Why? Why, when his teeth come out, does it hurt him? You don't think God can make teeth come out without pain? Oh, they say, you know why he's crying? Because he's teething. He's in pain. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Why does God have to make him in pain when his teeth come out? For what reason? Why did Hashem make it that he has to struggle so he could walk? You don't think he could come out walking like every other animal in the world? Within a day or two, they're walking like their mother and better. Why did he make it so difficult to walk and so difficult to learn how to read and so difficult to go through the different steps of life besides different sicknesses, God forbid, but it happens. Small sicknesses, the daily ones, the doctor's visits, the needle in the arm. For what reason? What did these kids do? Says the Chovot HaLevavot, it's one of the kindnesses of the Creator to prepare a young person for the great challenges of life, to learn how to deal with pain, to learn how to deal with disappointment, to learn how to deal with hard work. If a person would have been protected in the crib by the Creator for 13 years, and then all of a sudden things happen, he won't know what to do with himself. He'd be so weak that he'd fall apart. And growth in life only happens through challenges. And only happens through pain. Real growth hardly ever happens without struggle. Wisdom is a struggle. You gotta learn, you gotta toil, you gotta spend time. Sometimes it's hard. How do you expect a kid to learn? A parent who makes the highway straight for their kids can't enjoy the pleasure of seeing them learning and acquiring wisdom, because they don't have the stamina. Because to learn, you need effort. But effort's not something they had to make. So the creator of the world says, the Havot Levavot, we have to thank him that when we were young, we had to struggle with things that we really didn't do anything wrong for that to happen. Today, if something happens to me, I understand. Yisurim, I'm sure there are plenty of things I could say, oh, my Averot, I gotta fix this, I gotta fix that. But you can't say that for a little child. He's not even obligated in mitzvot. The great kindness of the Creator, the great Mechanech, who knows how to send the challenges to prepare a person for their ultimate greatness. Because greatness only can come with hard work and struggle. So while it's not our job to go and give challenges to our children, we don't try to make it harder for them. For example, if a person is able to feed his children, it's not his job to go tell them to get a job when they're 5 years old. There are some kids who are 5 years old in this planet today that don't have food at home, and they have to go figure it out. So you'll say to yourself, okay, so even though I have, so I'm not going to give them food. They have to go figure it out. Go fend for yourself. This way you'll learn how to make a dollar. It's not your job to do that. Your job is not to act in a cruel way to your children by not giving them the basic needs that you can afford and they know you can afford. And it's not the age for them to struggle right now for their parnasah. So you have to be a wise person, and you have to know what's age appropriate, and you have to know what Hashem gave you to give them. I would say the basic rules, not always, there are exceptions, but the basic rules is not your job to give them challenges. You have a place for them to sleep. You don't make them pay rent. Maybe you should make the 8-year-old pay rent. Why should I give you when I was 8 years old, I had nobody. I had to go and beg people for a job so I can buy a mattress so I can sleep on it. Who knows what your story is? That's not your job. Your job is to provide for your children their basic needs. If Hashem made you comfortable, you make them comfortable. But be careful that when Hashem gives them challenges, that you don't step in on their behalf. Let them figure it out. Don't do their homework. Much easier doing their homework than they do their homework. You think the purpose of homework is that they should learn the material? They're going to forget the material, guaranteed. The only business in the world that when people graduate, they forget everything they learned. Imagine you send a kid for 17 years to school, by graduation, same way they hit a baby at night after 9 months. They smack him in the face and he forgets everything the angel taught him. This repeats itself by graduation of high school. Whatever the guy learned, ask him, you remember the algebra formula? What's algebra? That was 10th grade. Done with that. How many things do they retain from what they learn? Obviously, they retain a lot of important things, but many things they learn, they don't retain. But what they do retain is the work that it took to get there. That's more important than all the information. It doesn't matter they forgot every formula in algebra. What's important is they learn how to work hard to be able to succeed. That's more important than the actual material in certain things. Some materials are also important. I'm talking in the secular world. In Torah, of course, the material itself is also important. But in the secular world, something not so important. But more important is their effort. So you come and you do it for them. You took away the most important part of the homework. It's not even knowing the material. It's getting there. So whether it has to do with friends, whether it has to do with their learning, with their siblings, whatever issues that come up in life, the worst thing a father or mother could do is step in and do it for them. Sometimes you leave them alone and let them also figure it out because they're capable. Sometimes maybe they can't figure it out. You have to help them figure it out and then let them take care of it. Maybe you have to guide them how to speak to that child who's bullying them. Depending on the situation, don't step in for them. Let them figure it out. Hashem is sending them that challenge. Why are you stepping in? Of course, because you care about them. But you're making them weak. Have to be very careful as a teacher, as a parent, a rabbi's teaching. He wants to make the boys have clarity in the lesson. He's going to teach them a Gemara, and he wants them to know it clear. You know what he does? He prepares for 10 hours the night before. He comes in, and he's going to give a shi'ur where any question he had himself would be answered in the shi'ur. He'll give it over with such clarity. He'll give the question and the answer, and he'll work out the next question, the next answer, and he'll do it, and then he'll write down notes on the board, and they're all going to write it down. What a failure of a rabbi. Failure? What do you mean, I prepared? The clarity I gave in this, you know how long it took me to understand this material so I could give it over to them? But you took away their struggle. You took away their ability for them to ask. You took away their ability to work it out on their own. A great teacher gives a little information. Enough information for them to be able to be bothered, to be lost, to be, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. You already told them it doesn't make sense, so you didn't let them figure it out. Big mistake. Some of the best orators are the worst teachers. Because when you're an orator, you're speaking. Public speaking, you gotta give over all the information. When they come to a classroom, they use the same system. They're gonna give over clarity the way they speak in public. You can't teach like that. You're taking away their ability to struggle. You have to be mindful of that. Of course, that's also with a parent. You're sitting on your table on Friday night, on Shabbat. You don't have to answer everything so quickly. Someone says something. Someone asks a question at the table. You know what you see? How many times someone comes to a rabbi, says, "Rabbi, I have a question." And there's 15 guys around the rabbi. The only one who answers the question right away are the 15 guys. See it all the time. The other day we're walking. Maybe there was 10 guys. Yeah, a nice half hour walk. One of the boys asked the question. It's a nice question. My plan was to to help him understand this question. To ask him, why do you think it's a question? When you ask this question, what are the options? You ask me why is it like this, what do you think the options are? And let's go through the options. By the time we finish, it'll be a half hour. But of course, before we even get to ask him something, I had 10 guys giving answers. We'd love to answer questions. What are you answering so fast? Work it out a little bit. Guy asked the question, at least help him understand what he's asking. And believe it or not, when you help someone formulate the question and understand what are the possibilities, so much clarity they get, and more so, they learn how to figure things out themselves. So there are many opportunities in our homes for the same. We love to answer questions that our children ask. Dad, how does this work? God, this is the moment where I shine. This is why they need me here, to give all the answers. That's not why they need you. They need you to help them know how to figure it out. Work it with them. Work it. What do you think? Why do you think it's a question? Doesn't make sense, your question. And all of a sudden you get people to think and people to work. You coming and giving them what they need doesn't help them. This is one of the areas you have to be careful not to spoil a child. To step in their struggles, in their questions, to make life easy for them. When indeed they have something to climb, you make it easier. Be careful of that. Of course, a person who does that has very good intentions. Their goal is to make life happier for their children. But as we mentioned, our goal in life is not to make their life happier. Our goal is to make their life successful. To be successful, which equals happier, they have to be independent. Your goal is to give them the way to become a success. Of course, one of the terrible outcomes of such guidance is that it will leave them weak their whole life. It will give them a false understanding of life, that things are supposed to be easy. So obviously when things go wrong, they complain because they don't know what that's like. And you give them a sense of weakness, that they don't have the ability, because strength is built through muscle, not through inspiration. Another terrible outcome of this is that we take away their happiness. Listen to this pasuk. Torah says, by Avraham Avinu, the first time Hashem spoke to Avraham, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Lech lecha. Hashem told him, go. Go for your benefit. Me'artzecha, leave your land. Mimolatecha, leave your city, your birthplace. Umibet avicha, leave your father's home. 75-year-old man is being asked to relocate in a place where he's very successful. Hashem says, lech lecha, you gotta go. You gotta leave your home, you gotta leave your community, you have to leave your country. You're gone. It's not so easy. Where am I going? Hashem, where are you taking me? Juv. He says, El Haaretz Asher Areka. Hashem says, I'm going to take you to the land that I will show you. What does that mean? Imagine you tell someone to move out of his home. Where am I going? I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll get back to you. What? Get back to me? So where am I going?
I'll get back.
I'll let you know. Show you. Now, between humans, okay, maybe the guy doesn't know yet. Maybe he's still trying to figure it out. The creator of the world, he knows where he's going to take him. El ha'aretz asher ar'eka. Hashem is not saying, I'm going to decide which land it is. Just, I'm going to show you where it is. Why do you have to show me? Just tell me where to go. I'll go. What's the point of ar'eka? This is a glaring question on the Creator. Why did he do that? Comes Rashi alav ha-shalom. Listen to these words. These are words that have to be, they have to be etched in our minds throughout the days of our lives. Says Rashi alav ha-shalom, obviously bothered by this question. Lo gila lo ha'aretz miyad. Hashem did not reveal which land immediately. Of course, he knew which land, but he wouldn't tell him. Why? Why would you not tell him? Kedeh lehabeva be'enav. Because he wanted him to love the land. Stop. What is that? So we have a question. Why not tell him where he should go? Tell him, I'm sending you to Eretz Israel, Eretz Canaan. Says Rashi, no, he wanted him to love the land. Yeah, so how does this get him to love the land? The answer is that when you give someone a gift, the pleasure of the gift can go much higher if there is an element of struggle in acquiring that gift. For example, think about it. When Hashem gave us the land of Israel, Hashem has only one nation called Am Yisrael. But we're not a very big nation. Any plot of land anywhere in the world would do. The world has plenty of empty space. They've been developing land into homes for thousands of years. 3,300 years ago, just imagine how much open space. This continent, for example, was wide open. Go there, take it over, develop it. You can have the entire Western Hemisphere. It's all yours. It's got everything you would want. Plenty of empty land. Hashem says, no, I'm giving you, you know what's land? This land. Is it empty? No. It's got 31 kings. It was like the place where every king wanted a piece of it. That's the land I'm going to give you. So they left already? No. You have to go, fight, and throw them out. I don't understand. Borei Olam, 90% or more of your planet is empty. You chose the little spot that everybody has a part in it? Why? You don't think God could have come up with a different solution than this? Why would he give us a land to go and fight for it and keep throw people out? Until today, we're fighting for it. It's not a fight that happened only 3,300 years ago. Our entire life on this land has been a fight. From then, everyone thinks it's their land. And in a way, it was. The Pelishtim thought it's their land. All the nations, look in Tanakh, study. Constant wars. There wasn't peace in the land of Israel for 3,300 years. Only when the Jewish people were not on it, only then there's peace. What has God done to us? To give us a land that everybody wants, that everyone feels somehow, some way that it's theirs. Go somewhere in Africa, They won't even know you exist.
Think about this. It's a big question.
Melo kol ha'aretz kevodo, the entire earth is his. He only has one small nation that he chose. Give him a land. Let him enjoy it.
Hashem says, no, you're going to fight for it. You know why? Lehabeva.
Because Hashem wants us to love the land of Israel. There isn't a nation that loves their land like the Jewish people. The 2,000 years, we've been praying, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim. Every wedding, every Brit Milah, every Tfilah, every Birkat HaMazon. Which nation that has been away from their country for 2,000 years is still crying on Tisha B'Av? As if it happened last week. The Jewish people have a love for Eretz Israel. We love the land of Israel. When we go to Israel, it's not like we're going to a nice place. We're going to a place that's connected to our soul. Just being there, we feel we're in somewhere like our home, but in a different kind of home than our home here. Lehabeva alav. Hashem wants us to love the land. You only love something when you struggle to acquire it. Hashem did not want to tell Abraham where it is, because right now he's leaving his house and he has no idea where he's going. Maybe he's going to the North Pole. Maybe that's the land. It's freezing up there. Who wants to be up there? Maybe he's taking him to Siberia. Who knows? Maybe he's going to be somewhere where nothing grows. It's going to be a desert. He doesn't know where he's going. Right now, he's in a nice place. That anxiety, that fear, that unknown, that who knows, every step he's going, maybe he's going the wrong way. What is it? Where is it? How am I going to find it? Struggle. Why did Hashem make him struggle until he said, oh, that's the one? Because when you struggle to get something, it's a different level of love and connection and enjoyment of that thing. These words of Rashi are so powerful. Because he wants him to love it. He wants to give him more pleasure. To give him more pleasure, I'm not going to tell you so that you'll have a certain level of struggle before you get there. What an unbelievable direction of Hinuch from the Creator himself. How he gives his children. He gives them the land, but he doesn't give it to them exactly the way we would give it to them. Make sure that there is an element where they are able to love it. So when we step in for our children and we solve all their issues and we make life easy for them, we take away their struggles, we're taking away their happiness. We feel great that we stepped in and we're doing our job, because we're only measuring the physical reality. But if we would measure their happiness and enjoyment and pleasure, we would be making a terrible mistake, taking away the pleasure that they can have by putting in the work necessary to acquire something and to love it. One of the important factors a person has to keep in mind not to spoil their children. Don't step in when it's not called for. Challenges are heavenly sent to prepare a person for greatness and for pleasure. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen be'amen.